In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua has just led Israel. It crossed the Jordan River and into the conquering of the land that had been promised to them. And the inheritance is being distributed. Joshua knows that he is about to die. His tenure on this earth and as the leader is about to come to an end. And if you begin with the 23rd chapter of Joshua, and I'm not going to read it all today, we'd be here most of the day, but I really challenge you to go home and read it, because it's a speech, but it's more than that. He's giving a farewell to the people that he has loved, that he has served, and that he has led. And knowing that he's going to be taken away, he's telling them what to do and where to go from here. And then in chapter 24, there begins to be a covenant ceremony, a renewal, if you will, of what has taken place in their lives to that point. You know, there are several places in the scripture where covenant is renewed and entered into. In Nehemiah, when they came back and rebuilt the walls after the city had been destroyed, if you read Nehemiah 8 through 10, you'll read of a renewal of covenant. God has always, from the beginning, operated in covenant with people. He has always said, here's what I will do. Here are my promises. And as Joseph said, there are over 3,000 of them that are in the scripture. These are the things that I promise. But he has asked that we likewise enter into that covenant with him. And then as his people, that we would enter into covenant with one another. It's one thing to be a friend. It's another thing to be family. Someone has said, I don't know when, but you've heard it, blood is thicker than water. If you've ever been in business, a family business, you know the truth of that statement. Okay? I don't care how good you are and how much of a rascal the boss's son is, the boss's son's going to get the business. It's not going to come to you. Anybody else had to learn that lesson along with me? I'm the only one. All right. Blood is thicker than water. Family matters. Guys, his blood is thicker among us than anything else. We're a family. We're not just friends who gather. We're not a convenience. We're a church. We are not simply an opportunity to get together on a weekend. We're his family, and this is a reunion. And we do it once a week. I have to tell you, one of the things that has always been astounding to me about Pinnacle Church, we all live together. We see each other all week long. We're up at the club, we're on the street, some of us are exercising, some of us ride bikes, some of us just stand and wave, okay? But whatever it is, we see each other constantly. But on Sunday morning, it's all I can do to get you a hush. It's like you haven't seen each other in years. I love that. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop being just like that. I have used a term to describe us quite often. Anybody remember what the term is? Healthy. We're not perfect. We're healthy. Healthy has the opportunity at times to be sick. Healthy has the opportunity to recover. Healthy has the opportunity to move forward. Healthy has the opportunity to grow. Healthy is not looking for perfection. It's saying, but today, I'm healthy. And that's where we are as a church. We're healthy. Family. That's important in God's economy. The people under Joshua's leadership had bonded themselves together and had set a standard for belief and practice. This is who you were to be if you were part of Israel's family. Historically, at least since the Reformation, we have established as congregations covenants of belief and practice, things that we hold in common. This week in the plan, again, I published our statement of belief. These are the things that we hold dear, and I made the comment at the beginning of the column, these are the things that you can expect to be taught at Pinnacle Church, because these are the things that we hold in common. Now, there are lots of doctrines. There are lots of ways things get interpreted. And for the most part, most of them are debatable. We can discuss them. We can disagree. There are a few we cannot. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That is absolutely critical. Because if he was not, then he was not God and man. If he was not God and man, then his death on the cross was for his own sin and not for mine. That birth of a virgin is absolutely fundamental to our faith, and it's not discussable. He lived a sinless life. If he did not live a sinless life, then his crucifixion on that cross was for his own sin and not for mine. And the faith falls completely apart. He died. That's absolutely critical to our faith. Because if he did not die on that cross, then there was not sufficient payment for my sin. The judgment, the penalty for sin is death. He didn't pass out, he died. He was buried, also important. If he were not buried, then the resurrection is meaningless. He was there, and he rose the third day. That resurrection is absolutely critical to the faith. If he did not rise from the dead, then he does not have the power for us to have life beyond this one. And he's a liar, and if he's a liar, he's not God, and if he's not God, my sins are not forgiven, and the whole thing falls apart. Those are absolutely fundamental. Those things are not debatable. After that, we can discuss, if you're going to Baylor, whether or not you should dance. I know a lot of Baptists that have Methodist feet. Those things are debatable. Those things are not critical to faith. Things we outlined at the beginning, those are the things that we hold dear. From Joshua 24, we look at the Pinnacle Church Covenant. I have presented to our elders at our last retreat. Guys, can I get you to come help me for a minute? Elders, please. Thank you. Pass one out, one for everybody, himself. Graham, yeah, please. And Bob's on the other side over here, guys. At our elders' retreat, we sat down together and we discussed our church covenant. What is it we're promising each other to do? What is it we're promising God we're going to do? What is a church covenant? In several places, it calls us to fear God, have respect for Him. I stand in awe of you. Perfect. That's what that means. Fear does not mean trembling. It means reverence and respect. It calls us to serve God, to incline our hearts to God, which means to simply move in the direction of God, to be listening to Him, and finally to obey God. Those are the things that we hold dear. Now, I'm going to go through our church covenant in detail with us in just a moment, because I want you to understand what it is that as the people of God we are doing. We are covenanting. Covenant simply means promise. We are promising one another a standard of belief and practice that is biblical, that is historical, and that it is helpful to exalt Christ. These are positions that were taken by our forefathers, by the biblical authors, as well as us. The first and most important one is a regenerate church practice. In the beginning at the top, it says, having received Christ as my Lord and Savior. Stop right there. We covenant together as a family because we commonly have asked Christ to forgive our sins. We believe that only He can forgive us our sin. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, there is one way to heaven. I am the way. And I want you to know something. Our culture today is trying very hard to marginalize Christianity and make us just another one of the world's religions. But that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say, I am a way. All roads don't lead home. You can't believe what you want to, and at the end of it, God's going to say, well, it was all right, you just didn't understand. Not true. There is a standard of justice. And Jesus said, I am the way. He paid the penalty for our sin. We believe that. And as a church, we hold that dear, and we hold it dear enough. Are you ready? We hold that dear enough that we're ready to die for it. It's just that real. We believe, and therefore we have been, and the word is regenerate. What all regenerate means is born again. I was born flesh. Now I am born into the family of God. I am born into that family by faith, but we have done that. And the people who are members of this church, who have entered into this covenant, having received Christ as my Lord and Savior, that's two parts. I know people that want to adopt Him as Savior. Thank you for dying for me, but now I'm going to go live like I want to, and my life isn't going to reflect anything of a biblical standard. If He is not Lord of your life, He is not your Savior either. They go together. You can't have one without the other. That would be like saying, Joylene, I want you to be my wife, but I'm going to run around on you. That's what that says. It's silly. When you put it in that context, it's silly. It just doesn't even make sense. But we do that. He is my Lord and Savior. Now let's move on. And either having been or willing to be baptized. There are some who have never been baptized. We need to do that. We're going to do that next couple of months. We'll offer an opportunity. I'll explain in detail what that's all about at that time. But I have to tell you something. I am not nearly as concerned about whether you've been baptized as I am about whether you're willing to be baptized. Because it tells me about your spirit. It tells me who you are. If it's something we're going to go to war and fight over, then you probably need to be baptized again. And if it's something that really is no big deal and you're willing to do it 100 times, if that's what it takes, then you probably don't. Because it's a matter of spirit and attitude and heart being broken before God. Baptism does not save us. It is not, and I know this is going to be a challenge for some of you, it is not a sacrament whereby you are saved. It is a symbol of something you have believed. Christ was buried and rose again. That's why we do baptism by immersion. Now, whether sprinkling or immersion is correct, we can debate that because it's a matter of the heart and what's in it. And we'll go from there. Some of the folks that I have had that debate with are very adamant, and I just remind them that there was no opportunity for the thief on the cross to be baptized. End of argument. And Jesus said, today, not at some point, today, you'll be with me. And I end the argument. So, either having been willing to be baptized, and being in agreement with the Pentecostal Church statement of faith, which is what I put in the plan this week. By the way, you're welcome to have that at any point. Agreeing with our strategy and structure, that's what we're going to do next week at the members briefing. That's why we do that a couple of times a year, so we get a chance to talk about strategy, structure, who we are, why we're doing what we do. I feel led by the Holy Spirit to unite with Pentecostal Church in a covenant walk. In doing so, I commit myself to God and to the other members to do the following. And here they are. And they're really pretty simple. First of all, I will protect the unity of my church. That's very important. If you don't like Pinnacle Church, and you don't like its leadership, and you don't like its structure and its strategy, don't join. That seems pretty simple to me. That seems pretty elementary to me. Do something else. But do not come expecting to change it, because it won't. There are things that are absolutes that will not change. I will protect the unity of my church, and here's how I'm going to do it. First of all, I will protect its unity by acting in love toward other members. Here's your scripture reference, Romans 14. Let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Let me explain to you what harmony is. Give me an F chord. Now just play F. Just F. No, just F. That is unanimity. Play again. It's just F. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with F. It's a good note. Play it one more time. But now add the chord. See how much richer and fuller it is? I don't ever want us to be one note. I want a chord. I don't ever want unanimity, because if we're all doing the same thing, it doesn't matter, whatever. If that's what we ever do, then we're some of us are unnecessary. But it's the cord that fleshes it out, makes it beautiful. Unity is that we will seek harmony, where we're all moving in the same direction. Now, if you play that F chord and add a G in the middle of it, now put a G in it. Just the G with the F chord. Now you have dissonance. Now resolve it. Okay? Harmony. That's what the church is about. It's never about unanimity. It's about harmony. I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love toward other members. By refusing to gossip. Don't use foul or abusive language, and gossip is abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Ephesians chapter 4. I will protect the unity of my church by following its leadership. Luke said in writing to the Hebrews, obey your spiritual leaders. Do what they say. Their work is to watch over your soul. They're accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love, by refusing to gossip, by following leadership. I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its growth. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. Now, I have said to you that I do not care about statistics. I don't care to know how many are here. Bless, I don't know what we're going to do today, Bob. I don't know how we're going to do this because Barry and Patty are out of town, and Barry counts every single Sunday. None of you escape Barry Evans, okay? He knows you're here. That's not an official assignment. That's a job that Barry decided was his, and he's done it. So, somebody count so we can tell Barry how many were here. I don't care. Here's what I care about. What did I describe us as? What are we? And what happens to healthy things? They grow. They just get new growth. Now, let's be candid. We're out here at the lake. Some of you are going to leave and move and go someplace else. Somebody else is going to move in. Our number may not change, but our faces might. And that's still healthy growth. Does that make sense to you? Our pond and our lake is only so big, and it always will be. But that does not mean we can't grow. I will pray for the growth of its church. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly, Paul said. I will invite the unchurched to attend. When I find somebody at Pinnacle that's a part of another church someplace and they're active in it, I never tell them that I think that's a bad thing and they ought to come here. I know. I just tell them we're here. And God can do whatever He needs to from there. If they're not going to church someplace, I make a point of saying here. We have started with our welcome bags and getting from Bernie all the new people who come in. We're making a conscious, overt effort to welcome new members of the community. That's what church does. That's our job. And by warmly welcoming those who visit, I will pray for the ministry. I will accept the responsibility for my church. Y'all do the warmly welcoming really well. Accept each other as Jesus Christ has accepted you so that God will be given glory. We are different. It's good. That makes the harmony. I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents. Everybody has a role. That's why on our covenant card, there's a place, and that's why I passed out a service survey. Those two things. Did it on purpose. Because this is not my church. Not his church. Not the elders' church. It's our church. All of us. And we all have a role to play. We all have something that we can do. We know that Joseph plays the keys really well. Really well. But his brisket chili just doesn't cut it. We have gifts and talents. Edwin, Kevin, Grant do a great job getting everything set up for us and prepared. Making sure those things happen. So when we walk in the door, they're here. That's what those guys do. But I'm not going to hand them my notebook, either any of them, particularly Kevin, and ask him to preach. We would never recover. Now you know why. But we all have gifts and talents. And by each one of us doing the little thing that we can do, the work gets done. I will serve the ministry of my church by being equipped by my pastors. Guys, the things that I'm teaching, I'm not just going through the motions of a Sunday morning service. I'm really trying to instill in you truth from God's Word that will change your life. We have been, since the beginning of this year, really emphasizing and living, if you will, on the concept of covenant, of promise, of understanding all that's in that and grasping it from 1 John. Now you are God's children. What does that mean? And that's where we have lived. I will serve the ministry of my church by developing a servant's heart. Can I tell you that's something you all do well? I cannot tell you how, well, I can't count. That's a better way to say it. I can't count how many of you individually have come to me at some point or written or sent me an email or a text that just simply says, hey, preach, wherever you need me, I'm ready. Whatever you need me to do, I'm there for you. Whatever. You have no idea how wonderful that is. And that may seem a small thing, but it is not. That's being ready to serve. I will take an active service role in my church. All of us together build the church. I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully. And most of you do. And it's wonderful. You're here when you're here. I love it because our church is never the same 2 weeks in a row. If it ever was, I wouldn't know what to do. I'd feel like I was in the wrong place. But we do gather together. And we do it every week. I will support the testimony of my church by living a godly life. Paul wrote to the Philippian church this, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. Wow, citizens of heaven. John said in his letter to the church, now you are God's children. You're God's children. You live that kind of a life. There are things that are expected of the royal family that are not expected of anybody else. Yeah? And we're the royal family. Live like it. Don't embarrass the throne. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news. Now, I have to tell you, I have read that verse of Scripture my whole life. And if Paul were sitting right here today, I would look at him and I would say, Paul, I am not sure that there has ever been 1 second in my life that I felt worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not trying to live to prove anything. It's the acceptance of the magnificence of what he did for me. And it humbles. That's what Paul was saying. It's not that you're going to conduct yourself so that you can prove how good you are. It's that what you did for me was so incredible that it has changed everything about me in my priorities and everything else. Paul said, when I come to see you, or even when I just hear about you, I will know that you're standing side by side, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. And then the last one, I will support the testimony of my church by giving regularly. I have told you many times, and I'm going to continue to tell you, I cannot express to you the freedom that I feel as your pastor because I don't have to stand here after every Sunday and beg for money. I am grateful that we don't even have to take 8 minutes, which is roughly what it takes to take the offering. We don't have to take 8 minutes out of the 60 that we're given in order to receive an offering. There's a basket back there, and you all just do what you need to do. It's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. I was talking to a friend of mine in Pennsylvania this week, pastors of church. He said, how big is your church? And I told him. He said, what's your budget? And I told him roughly what our income was last year. How much of that do you give to missions? And I told him how we do our missions program and what we gave to missions from a congregation our size. He said, how do you do that? I said, I never talk about money. And I don't, other than just to say, thank you for your faithfulness. You just do what you're supposed to do. You know what God has commanded, what God said, and you just do it. By the way, for those of you who are new, I do not preach tithing. Tithing is an Old Testament concept. 10% was to be set aside. That's the Old Testament. And we don't do that. We're New Testament. And if you go to chapter 5 of the book of Acts, in the New Testament, they gave it all. So I'm a New Testament guy. Makes 10% sound pretty good, doesn't it? But see, guys, that's what you can do when you're healthy. And I'm proud of you. So, we have come together, and we have signed covenant cards. We've turned them in. We've agreed to serve. Some of you for the third time, some of you for the first time. And it doesn't matter. But there's one more piece of it. And that is the promise that Christ gave to us. Elders, would you serve the elements for communion? Because covenant doesn't have one side. It always has two. And the promises that we're making today and the promise that he made to us go together. You can't do one without the other. You can't have this without that. With covenant comes responsibility, but with covenant comes promise and joy. So we're going to receive the elements together, and then we will complete our covenant service together. The Bible says that as we approach communion, we are to examine ourselves so that we don't partake and participate in an unworthy manner. You're going to hear me say words in just a moment that if you're new to us or visiting with us, may not make sense to you, so let me explain quickly. You're going to hear me make a comment about being your church at the lake. And the reason for that is because many of the folks who are here at Pinnacle are weekenders, and they're a member of a church in the city or elsewhere where they and their family have been members for years, and we have never thought for a moment that that should be resigned in order to be here. But on the Sundays that the weekenders are here, this is church, and this is where they come, and this is how we participate, and this is what we do. So we talk about Pinnacle being our church at the lake, and it's a perfectly good term. Has everyone been served? On the night he was betrayed, Maundy Thursday, that's the night he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and he said, gave it to the disciples, and he said, eat all of this. This is my body, which is broken for you. And we've gone through this year a lot, talking about the fact that covenant required the sacrificial animal to be cut in half, be broken. And then those making the covenant would walk between the pieces. And Jesus said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Covenant. God's promise. This is it. Your sins will be forgiven. And this is my promise from this day forward. This is covenant. Let's partake together of his body, the bread. And then he took that precious cup. With the cup, he said, drink all of it. He said, this is my blood shed for you. The shedding of blood was critical. That's how the covenant got, in a sense, signed. You know a contract is no good till you put your name on it. Jesus said, this is my name. And once it's done, it's done. No more bulls, no more rams, no more sheep, nothing. This is it. It's done for you. This is the covenant. We're going to enter covenant in a minute with him, but he said, here's my part. I got it. This is for you. Drink all of it. Let's do it now. Now then, that's his part, the covenant. We know he's in because God won't ever, 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 ever lie to us. We know he's in because his promises can be depended on, standing on the promises. That's there. So now comes our part. Those of you who are entering covenant membership with us, would you stand, please, congregation? You're going to feel like you're standing at an altar. Okay. Will you, Pinnacle Church membership, this day, take Pinnacle Church to be your community of believers at the lake, with whom you have determined to cast your lot? Will you live together in the holy covenant that we have just cut with God? Will you love, protect, share responsibility, serve ministry, support the testimony, and be faithful to Pinnacle Church as we walk together for the next 12 months? Do you take the Pinnacle Church community to be your church community at the lake from this day forward, for better or for worse, good times and bad times, when the treasury is full and when it is empty, when it's healthy and growing, or when it's weak and struggling? Do you agree by your own free will to abide by these guidelines with Christian love and decency, allowing Pinnacle Church to hold you accountable for your covenant? Church, this is a commitment we make with full knowledge. We willfully commit our lives to share and assemble one with another. No one is ever forced to make this commitment. The understanding behind any sort of commitment is accountability. It's there. So, as pastor, elders, covenant members, we explicitly take that responsibility to hold me and you accountable from now on. Now, having actually entered into the covenant relationship with God and having celebrated His side as well of that covenant, I welcome you for another 12 months to covenant membership with Pinnacle Church. I pray that as we move forward together, God will bless us and use us to minister to our community where we live like He never has before, and that we will be joyous and that we will feel His presence continuously with us. In Jesus' name. Lord, today we have talked about covenant. Today's an exciting day as a pastor, because today we actually promise one another and promise You how we are going to move together for the next year. Lord, we are grateful for the privilege. Father, You have brought Pinnacle Church a long ways since 2010. We've come from kind of a Bible study at a beginning, and we've come all the way to being a church that has missionaries that we support and ministries, Lord, both here and abroad, that share Your gospel, and we're part of those things. You've brought us a long ways. But we haven't even scratched the surface of what You intend and what You have for us. Father, we know that in the future this church will have influence and ministry beyond our understanding today and our vision today to even see. And the only thing we ask is that we be able to walk humbly with You with Your anointing. Grant that to us, Father. Use us for Your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. I pray the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the love of God the Father that He has shown to us, that the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit really not only reside in us, but be seen in us until we meet again in Jesus' name. I love you, church. Go in peace. I really do.